Coming up, we talk to the Novell events staff about what we're doing this year at Linux World Expo in San Francisco. After that, we've got an interview with the GroupWise team about GroupWise mobile server powered by IntelliSync. It's all coming at you right now on Novell Open Audio. Welcome to Novell Open Audio, the podcast that connects the Novell user community with what's going on inside and around the Novell universe. I'm Ted Hager, and Aaron? Aaron's not here today. Aaron's out because, okay, true story, Aaron was in the skate park this last weekend. Aaron's a big skateboarder, and he goes out there with his kids all the time, and, he re-dislocated his shoulder. Once again, he has dislocated his shoulder. He did this last summer. And so if you want to send Aaron an email of condolences, you can send it to him at eqill@novell.com. And tell him, find a sport that's a little less extreme, dude. What do we got coming up? We've got an interview with the Novell events team about what's going on at Linux World Expo, and that's happening in San Francisco starting on Tuesday of next week. That's August 15th. We're starting up there. And so let's check out what the events team has in the hopper for Linux World this year. Welcoming to our studio, we've got Troy Money, we've got Mike Morgan, and we've got Alexa Henry all joining us. And these are the people that actually do all the coordination around various events that Novell does. You've heard Troy and Mike speak before about BrainShare. And now we're going to check out what's going on at Linux World. So guys, what's really cool for our listener community at Linux World this year? Mike, you want to maybe kick it off for us?
Yeah, it's us, Novell. We have got a presence there that is going to be great. I think that this will be our largest presence ever at a Linux World. It's completely full of a lot of cool technologies that you need to come see. If you're not going to be there, I feel bad for you because you'll have to do it by proxy, I guess. But many of the things that we've got going there is, first of all, a huge presence on the floor. We're going to have two theaters running, one that's going to go over all of the cool things on Linux that we're doing, but another theater, and Ted, you might want to jump in here because I think you're going to be involved in this, is the desktop theater where we're going to go all day, every day on the cool things that Sled 10 has got.
20-minute long sessions, hands-on for 18 different seats there. Aaron Quill, our other host on the show, myself, will be on there. We've actually, I think, got a couple other guys coming in as well that are going to be doing some of those. So we got some fun stuff going on for people
there. I'm excited to see this. I think that this theater is going to be great. Both theaters are going to be a place you want to go. You're going to get great information, but also get some great prizes, too. So you want to make sure you show up there.
So, Troy, what kind of things are you looking forward to at the show? What kind of stuff is queued up from your side?
Well, in addition to the trade show floor, which Mike talked about, which is going to be awesome, we have a lot of developers and our engineers that are going to come down there and man those stations. So in addition to the theaters, you'll be able to get your questions answered by the developers and engineers that will be there.
So you can actually hobnob, rub elbows with some of these technical guys in the actual show floor?
They will be there. They will be there to answer your question. This is a major launch for us. This is a major part of our launch for SUSE Linux Enterprise 10. So on the server side and on the desktop side, on the trade show floor, you'll also see another big presence. We're sponsoring the Email Garden, so you'll see SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop in all its glory going on there for all your internet and email needs. You'll be able to try it out there as well. We have a press conference that will be on August the 15th, so we're not going to break any of the press here, but you can expect announcements from Novell during the week.
And that's Tuesday next week.
That's right, of Linux World that will be going on. And then a lot of different sessions, so kind of two different categories of sessions. Linux World folks came to us, saw the kind of content that we put forth at our technical conference in BrainShare, and said, hey, could you bring some of that stuff to Linux World? So we are. We're going to run a Best of BrainShare track with titles like High Availability Storage, Zen Technical Insight, and Systems Management Roadmap. All about very good speakers. Richard Jones, Mike, the other guy there that's presenting, is
Dr. K.Y. Srinivasan, one of our engineers.
So he'll be doing the stuff on virtualization with Xen and those things, which are very good. Then in addition to that, and I guess let me make a point here, anybody can come see the Best of BrainShare, right, Mike? I mean, well, that's free of charge, is that right?
It is not free of charge. There is a cost associated with the Best of BrainShare, and that's paid directly to Linux World.
Okay.
We have made arrangements with Lennox World, though, that for our Novell customers, we do have a free code that they can use to come to the Best of Brain Share. And so that information we can have posted.
So we'll link to that from this show's notes, and that way people know what the code is, and then they can get in. So like people from our Novell users groups, chapters that are all over the Bay Area, we got one called NoBug, which is in the Oakland area, and pretty much, I guess, the rest of the Bay Area, Alan Hall or Alan Hurst runs that. We're going to be able to get that out to them and some other people.
Yeah, they just need to go to those program notes, and they can link right to that information.
Great.
Then, in addition to the Best of Brain Share, other Lennox World sessions that will be going on, and that's, again, where we have some great developers there. So Nat Friedman will be presenting on HGL and the 3D desktop, some of that you're going to see hands-on with Code 10 that's there. Mikhail Diakaza will be there. He's doing a development platform shootout with .NET versus J2EE versus LAMP. He will be there, and a number of other Novell or open source speakers that we're affiliated with. So overall, not only the Novell presence, but this Linux world will be a very big deal. And I guess the other big deal will be, this is the time to get your hands on the code. So our key deliverable will be this 2-DVD evaluation set that we will have for every attendee. You can just come by the booth and get that, 2 master DVDs of both the server side and the desktop side. You're ready to go.
And that's full code for the product, right?
Yeah, that's full code. I guess even when I say evaluation, the only thing that's really evaluation is the 60 days that you get of patches and updates through Novell Customer Center, but it's not a time bomb version or any of those things. It's the full code that's ready to go.
That's server end. Desktop. That's pretty cool. Alexa, I want to get one clarification from you. These other sessions, Troy mentioned these other sessions that like Miguel's doing, Nat's doing these. These are not the Best of Brain Share part, correct?
They are not. They are actually the conference attendees who pay for their participation to attend the conference. These sessions are available to those attendees.
So the full Novell the Novell Pass, the one that gets you into the Best of Brain Share sessions, that's not going to get you into the Linux World sessions.
It will not get you into the Linux World sessions, but it will get you into the exhibit hall, the keynotes, and some of the other special presentations that will be happening at Linux World.
Got it. All right. So you can use our free passes. You can get in. You can do a whole bunch of stuff with Novell, but if you really want to get like all access pass, including some of these sessions that may be presented by Novell people, they may not be billed as specifically Novell sessions, those are going to be good ones to pay for the full conference pass.
That's right. One other thing that we want to bring up is the huge support we're having from our partners here at Linux World. Right adjacent to our booth is going to be 16 of our partners. 8 are going to be MarketStart, 8 are going to be our partners, traditional partners like IBM, HP, and those guys. And so you'll see it on the trade show floor in the exhibit hall. It's going to be all Novell. It's going to be great.
That's great. So anything else, guys, or is that pretty much a pretty good overview?
On the 8th floor here in Provo, we have been smelling a little bit of paint fumes coming over from the Open Audio Studio. So is there any truth to the rumor that we would see a new laptop?
This is my laptop's coming out party. This is it, where the custom paint, it's going to be seen. So I'm hoping that up there in the Desktop Experience Theater, when I'm presenting up there, or Aaron's presenting up there, we're going to be using that thing. And it is the green color that has been custom painted. Is called Envy, which I'm hoping it inspires all around, and it's got the samurai chameleon on it. This thing is the bee's knees.
Wait, Ted,
cat's meow.
Don't you have a photo of this that you could give these guys a sneak peek?
We'll link to my blog from this show's notes, so I'll actually have some of the photos up there. So if you don't get to see the thing on the show, we'll link to it.
I think that's a good benefit for listening to this interview, so they get to see a sneak peek before anybody else.
Yep, right on.
Could you guys tell how excited Ted was about that? That was the first time I actually heard Ted stumble a little bit on Novell Open Audio, so I hope we don't edit that out. I hope we keep that in there, because my man was like, a wonderful present opening for him.
I saw him passing out cigars.
Yeah, it was great. It was like the birth of a child.
All right, so confession time. I ran down to Troy Money's office. Troy, it's here. Troy's both Mike and my boss, and Troy's like, okay. He gets off the phone, and we all gather around, and we open it up, and it's upside down, and we can't see the graphic on it or any. We turn it over. It was like Christmas Day for me.
He was giddy. It was amazing.
Hey, so, thanks for having us, Ted.
Thanks for coming in, you guys. Hey, you know, besides the events team putting me on the spot about this new laptop, which I'll link to the posts on my blog that shows some of the pictures of it, but if you want to see it live, it'll be there at Linux World Expo. And on the Linux World Expo floor in the Novell booth at the theater, the main Novell theater there, we're doing Novell Open Audio live. We're actually going to have a live audience inside of the theater, and we're going to bring on a couple hacker guests of ours to talk to them, do our regular interview type format. Our first guest at 12:30 on Tuesday, August 15th, is going to be Nat Friedman. He's going to talk to us about desktop Linux. And if you don't know who Nat is, he's Senior Vice President of Desktop Engineering here at Novell. He's also the founder or co-founder of Zimian, the company Novell bought that brought both Miguel and Nat, Miguel de Acasa and Nat Friedman, into Novell. So Nat Friedman will be joining us for a 12:30 interview, and we'll be recording that one so we can post it later in the day. Hopefully we're going to hit somewhere around 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time or so that will go online. We're shooting for that. Second interview will be on Wednesday the 16th, and that will again be at 12:30. And the madman himself, Jeremy Allison, is coming back to talk to us about all things that Jeremy talks about. So he's the guy on Samba, of course, the maintainer of the Samba project. You can find him at samba.org, and we've linked to him before on the show. But we'll have him on the show for that day. So Linux World Expo is going to have some Novell Open Audio live, and we'll even take questions from the live audience there. We'll be giving out t-shirts. It'll be the fastest delivery we've ever done of some of these t-shirts, because I know I got a couple listeners still waiting for their t-shirts. Anyway, that's it for Linux World Expo, and we hope to see anybody in the Bay Area. So if you're flying in or if you're in the Bay Area, come on out and see us at the exposition floor in the main theater, 12:30 p.m., Novell Open Audio goes live for the first time. Coming up next, the GroupWise team talks to us a little bit about what's going on with GroupWise Mobile Server, including how you can get it, a few of the details about its features, functionality, and deployment. So let's check out what they've got to say. The subject for the day is GroupWise Mobile Server powered by IntelliSync. And to do the job of explaining what it is and get some of the questions out there, we've brought in three different individuals from the team, and Aaron Quill is still out due to an arm injury. So, who do we have in the studio right now? We've got Jeff Ross, one of the testing engineers who worked on the engineering team that integrated the IntelliSync code with GroupWise. We've also got Bill Prey, who's on, of course, the product manager. You've heard him before on Novell Open Audio in the past. And he's of course, GroupWise Product Management. And we're introducing on the show today somebody to help me out with some of the questions. That's Gregory Webb from Product Marketing for GroupWise. Gentlemen, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Ted.
Howdy, Ted.
Who wants to queue up with the overview of what GroupWise Mobile Server is? Maybe, Bill, you should take that one on.
GroupWise Mobile Server is Novell's top-notch, leading industry competitive solution out there for getting your email mobile. We have done the research, we've gone out and talked to our customers, and they have told us that it is absolutely critical that they provide email, calendar, contact support out to all their mobile users. And you know, if you look at the market and what's happening, this is the next wave and generation is getting your mobile users that critical information they need to be productive in their work environment. And so we went out, did some shopping on the market, found us the best partner out there for this space in IntelliSync, and have now shipped that as part of the GroupWise product.
Great. And so let's get a little idea of what the features are then. I know email is one of the things that you got to be connected to, but let's talk about the other things, the peripheral items around there, because GroupWise does a lot more than just email. So we're talking also calendaring?
So you're talking calendaring, all of your appointments, schedules, those kinds of things that are very important to a mobile person. So for example, say you've got a salesperson and their calendar's changing constantly and they need to know, for example, if appointments canceled and that changes their travel plans. I mean, this is the kind of thing that increases productivity. Your tasks are synced. Your contacts are synced. You know, for salespeople, that's critical.
Absolutely.
And for executives, their contacts are their currency. And so it's really important that that information be pushed to their mobile device and that it's all kept synchronized.
As one who participated in the beta program internally for our launch of GroupWise Mobile Server, I just came to love many of the features, including the calendaring. The only disadvantage in my mind about the calendaring is that you have to have accepted the appointment either on the device or in the client in order for it to show up on the mobile device calendar, which is, you know, as one who lives by my mobile calendar, that's a little bit disadvantageous, but just a small thing.
Is that to say then that the appointment shows up just as regular mail in your inbox until you say accept it?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Okay. Then it populates the calendar on the device.
All right, so it doesn't have necessarily different statuses like free or out of office or busy during those times that we often set to appointments. You have to accept for it to show up on your calendar.
Right.
Got it. There's another thing here. I'm big on notes because as a clinically diagnosed attention deficit disorder adult, you it's not nice to laugh at somebody's impairments. I'm sorry. Prescription drugs for these people. I have to take notes all the time. Does this also handle notes within GroupWise? Because I do a lot of different note-taking in GroupWise.
It does. It does sync your notes.
So you can take a note, and it'll show up back in your GroupWise system if you take the note on your phone?
Notes will sync from GroupWise to the device. However, the technology was not, the functionality was not such that we could get it synchronizing from the device up to GroupWise. It is not a matter of the data not being able to be synced. It was just a matter of the paradigm of GroupWise not knowing where to actually place that note in GroupWise. And that should be resolved in the next release.
Okay, so that's a feature coming up. It's not there yet, but it is on the roadmap.
Right.
Great. All right, so let's talk about platforms that we can support on this. I'm presuming that the large two out there, your Palm-based phones or your Compact Edition or whatever it's called from Windows these days, those are supported?
Yes, so Palm operating system from 4.0 and up is supported. Then also the Windows Mobile 2003, the 2003 SE, and the 5.0 are all supported. We also support a Symbian 7.0 and 8.0. And the Brew 2.1 and 3.1 OSs are supported.
So you're not just the two major platforms, you've got other things besides that. So a large array of devices should be able to be handled by this.
Absolutely. The intent is if you support the OS, then you get a broader range of support for devices. And there are so many devices out there that we only certify a limited number, the more popular ones, with the system. But we support all of those OSs. And so if the device runs one of those OSs, then we will provide you support for it and help make sure that the solution works.
Thanks. I just wanted to point out, Ted, that we have a number of customers who call or write in and ask for specific lists of devices, and it's just too challenging to do that given the fact that these companies are releasing new devices all the time. It's much more preferable just to give a list of operating systems, platforms, and versions they run on, and we feel like if we can do that, and we're hoping to have something up like that working with Nokia on Novell.com in the coming weeks.
Great. Jeff, we're talking, we got to get a little bit of a deployment on this as well, since you've been doing this stuff in the testing. What version of GroupWise do you have to have?
You have to have GroupWise version 7.01.
And that's Service Pack 1 then, is that
right?
Correct?
GroupWise right. 7 was Service Pack 1, and it, that is on the back end.
And
the client you were running is not as important. So some companies choose to leave their clients at an older version for a time, even though they've upgraded the back end. But it's the back end that is compatible with GroupWise.
Okay, so you could have like a 6.5 client deployment out there, and people could still use the mobile services because the back end servers have been upgraded.
That's correct.
Okay, and what about the actual code for this? GroupWise mobile server has to run on what platform?
It is certified to run on Windows 2000 server or Windows 2003 server. And those are the two platforms with a Linux version coming in the first quarter of next year.
First quarter of next year. That's target date. I want to make sure we clarify that to people so it's not a hard commitment going on. But, okay, so there is a Linux version coming. But for now, those people who just got to have it today, they can get it and they'll have to deploy it on a Windows server.
That's correct.
So, Bill, how much does this cost? What is it going to take for somebody to do the actual deployment?
That's the great thing about this is that in our market research, we understood that this had to be part of our GroupWise solution in order to be competitive, in order to provide what the customers needed. So all it costs is that the customer has to be current on their upgrade or maintenance protection.
You're entitled to it if you have maintenance on GroupWise. If you're up to date, you're current on that, you get it.
Exactly, Ted. You know, we like to say it's free, but, you know, we know nothing's truly free out there. But, if you're a current GroupWise customer, your upgrade maintenance protection's in place, you get this.
Yeah, we certainly want to also point out that this is available as an eval out on download.novell.com. So anybody who's curious, wanting to go find out more about it, check it out. You can go download the software and try it out.
All right, with that, with the base knowledge that we have now, Jeff, maybe you can give us an idea of different platforms. You've had to test different mobile devices, correct? And right. So are there different features that the different platforms show up with? Like if I have a Palm device versus a Windows-based device, am I going to get different features working or not?
Well, the features are basically the same on any of the platforms. The software uses the native PIMs on the device, and so you will get a Palm look and feel on a Palm. You will get a Pocket PC look and feel on a Pocket PC. And, for example, with the Palm, there are viewers that come with the software, viewers to view Word documents or Excel spreadsheets. On the Pocket PC, of course, those applications to view those kinds of documents are native, and so IntelliSync doesn't provide those. So there are subtle differences, but really they are differences only with regard to the OS.
So that brings up the question of attachments, though. In general, if the attachment, if I got like a Word doc attachment, if my device has a Word doc viewer type, the GroupWise mobile client on the device is going to use that MIME type and open the correct application. Is that what you were implying there as part of it?
Right, right. So long as the administrator has set up that you can download attachments from or down to your device.
And what about devices that don't have wireless? Like I've just got like the Palm device that I use for keeping my appointments and things like that, but it doesn't have wireless. Did you say it works with Cradle-based as well?
Absolutely. You can sync it via Cradle. You can do it at 802.11 or even Bluetooth.
Okay. Let's get into maybe some of the synchronization details a little bit. Is the model on this bill, is it a push model or a pull model? Meaning, does the device actually have to grab things on a periodic basis? Does the server push it down, giving the device the notification, hey, I've got new stuff for you? How's that work?
It's configurable, so you have the choice of how you want to do it. Obviously, one of the key things is a push model. Being able to push it out to the device, whenever an event occurs, is one of the things that's very attractive to a lot of end users. But that can also be challenging for battery life. And so, it depends upon the individual's use choices. It's actually configurable at an individual level. They can configure it on the device through the client.
How does that? What's that have to do with battery life? Give me a little bit more on that, if you would.
Well, for example, in my personal experience, with my HPAC 6515, I get about only 7 to 8 hours a day because I'm averaging over 100 to 150 emails a day, and so with those constantly being pushed to my device, it chews up more battery, and especially if I'm in there trying to read them and keep
just
up.
Just because you're
them.
Constantly on the wireless mm-hmm. connection on that.
The push model actually is not necessarily dependent on the number of emails. If you have push turned on, it has a constant connection to the server. And so whether you get one email a day or 100, it will drain your battery.
Oh, wow. So it's not even based on the number of emails. It's just because it's constantly listening to the server, it's got that wireless connection live.
That's right. And IntelliSync was really smart in the way they designed this, and they designed an alternative to push, which is they call ReadySync, which allows you to configure the number of minutes between each synchronization. And that's what a lot of users use. You can do it down to, I think, every few minutes. I think 5 minutes might be the minimum granularity, up to, say, several hours. And so you can synchronize that. The device then will connect to the server on those intervals, thereby saving battery life.
And I think, were you guys also saying there's like a manual mode as well?
And then, of course, you can turn off all of the push synchronization and synchronize manually.
Okay, so that's probably good if somebody's traveling like overseas or something like that. That's nice.
As the marketing guy, I have to jump in here and just say how great this feature is. I've got mine configured so that it pushes every time I get a new email. And Ted, I have to say, as I sit there at my desk, I can watch the two come in on my client and on my handheld, and they come in almost absolutely simultaneously.
And you've got that phone constantly plugged in on a charger, though, right?
Almost need to, because it does tend to drain my battery life. But it does go, for me, on the device I use, the full 8 hours I'm here.
Got it.
Did I say 8 hours? I mean 12 hours.
Spoken like a marketing guy. So let's talk about the address book as well, though, because we talked about contacts being important to, say, executive types or sales types. But, I mean, if you're in a large company with thousands and thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people in your address book, you're not even going to be able to store that on most of these devices. So how does that work? How does the device synchronization to address book work?
Well, you can choose to synchronize either any or all of your personal address books. The system administrator can also decide to synchronize the system address book or even portions of it based on distribution lists.
So if I'm, like, say, a network administrator at some gigantic company like a Boeing or something like that, I don't want to, synchronize the address book down without collapsing people's ability to get email and everything else because of those contacts. Is that the fair way to look at it?
Right. And so what an administrator would probably do is set up distribution lists. So, for example, here in GroupWise, our system at Novell, our system address book is probably too large to download to most devices. And so the system administrator would set up for all of the people in GroupWise. Those people can download the GroupWise distribution lists. And those people in other departments would be able to download only their distribution lists.
And what about my personal address books? Like, I have one for the Linux community contacts I have, and I need that synchronized to my phone. Will I be able to do that kind of thing?
And that's, yeah, exactly, and that's user configurable. So you can choose which personal address books you want to synchronize.
And I presume dial direct out from the, once you have the contacts down, you can do that, correct?
Right, and that uses the native phone functionality.
And then, of course, the nice thing about it is even though you don't download the entire address book, you still have access to it through an online connection. So you can search the corporate address book if you don't have a contact in there so that you don't have to synchronize the entire address book down. It gives the end user a way to get at that information still.
Okay, so even if I don't know what I'm doing, don't know how to configure my own system to synchronize my address books or anything like that, I can search the corporate address book, find Gregory's name in there, call him and say, hey, that was a little cheap shot you did with the upping the battery life.
That works.
All right,
we'll do that later.
What about security on this? I mean, these kind of devices tend to be a data leakage point. As soon as you're starting to put emails on them, you got confidentiality issues, right? So how do we handle security?
So one of the key hallmarks of GroupWise is that it is so secure. And so when we went out shopping for a partner in this space in IntelliSync, we wanted to make sure we found a company that matched that. And IntelliSync does that. They've been in this business for over 7 years. They know what they're doing, and they have gone through a lot of effort to make sure that those synchronizations are secure. So to get a little more specific, they support AES encryption, 128-bit. They support triple DES, 112-bit. They also support SSL, although, you know, in the configuration, you know, security world, I mean, not many people would use that in this scenario, but it's an option. It comes by default set up with AES encryption, and so it's very secure. All of these options utilize the Diffie-Hellman key exchange, and they have configurable key expiration.
I love Diffie. I'm not so hot on Hellman, but Diffie, great guy. What
did you have something to add, Greg? Oh, I just wanted to ask if you could tell us a little about the KillPill device, the remote management feature.
And so it also comes with, okay, it's easier to explain with the scenario, but let's say your CEO loses his device in the back of a taxi and there's all kinds of, you know, key corporate information on their emails and everything, and of course the panic sets in. Well, the administrator, as soon as he's notified, has the capability of sending out what's called a kill pill. In other words, if that device contacts the system in any way or is still in contact with the system, then it will receive this command that will tell it to wipe its information. And it'll delete the data from off the system as well as any cards that are within the device.
So that means then you've got actually the ability to almost do like an escrow type thing where it's kill that device, it's lost. And that's pretty good for security. Now, that means there's code being put on these devices, though. We've already talked a little bit in terms of client. Jeff gave us an idea. Maybe, Jeff, what does it take to get the code actually onto the different devices so that they can use this?
To get the software on the device, it's actually very easy. You can do it over the air. You can do it via the cradle. It's as simple as either surfing to the website, the server's website, and telling the server that you have a new device, or even on the device, surfing with the browser, the integrated browser, surfing to a particular URL and installing the software over the air.
Oh, wow. So you actually have an online install that you could do with the device.
Exactly. And that's the way most people do it.
That's pretty cool. And so, in other words, an administrator can actually say, hey, this is now available. Send it out through GroupWise generally, and somebody could get the URL right there through their device, just bring their phone right up, and deployment is done.
Absolutely.
No hands-on, no bring your phone to me and I'll do it for you. I mean, there'll still be a number of those special case people because every administrator has to deal with them. But That sounds pretty cool. So let's get into some listener tough questions. Let's wrap up with a few last things on this if we can. We had actually three of them come in this time, two of them from our friend Chris Rolfe. And Chris asks the first question, asking, and maybe this is a good one for you to answer for us, Gregory. As GroupWise mobile server is based on IntelliSync, which is now owned by Nokia, the acquisition just happened a little while ago, is there danger of Nokia upsetting the compatibility with other devices, or will we see extended functionality in favor of Nokia-type devices?
Yeah, that's a great question, and one that I know users are concerned about. We actually have the opportunity to call Steve Maxwell at Nokia, who I think is in the best position to answer this question. We asked him when he was here on site, and he gave us a very firm answer that no, Nokia will continue to support the multiplicity of devices available. It's certainly in their best interest to take advantage of that great, strong brand, and we will do that as well.
All right, let's see what he has to say.
All right, Steve, thank you for joining us. Why don't you take a minute, Steve, from Nokia, and tell us your title.
Okay, I am the Global Alliance Manager for the Novell relationship on behalf of Nokia.
Thanks, Steve. We appreciate you taking a minute to join us. We had a user who wrote in and asked us the following question. This was from Chris Rolfe, who asks, as GroupWise Mobile Server is based on IntelliSync, which is now owned by Nokia, is there danger of Nokia upsetting the compatibility with other devices, or will we see extended functionality in GroupWise Mobile Server to favor Nokia devices? How do you want to respond to that, Steve?
Well, that's a really good question, and that's a question that we've gotten a lot. And it's let me answer it this way, and that is, it's actually been a benefit to IntelliSync, as you probably is aware, and as many of your listeners may be aware. You know, IntelliSync had a lot of market share because of its device breadth, but didn't have a lot of presence in the marketplace because it was such a smaller company. So what Nokia brings as the world's sixth most valuable brand is a lot of muscle behind it. And there are no plans at this point in time. And what we are saying is that there will never be plans to upset that market. That device breadth, and in fact, to continue to improve and enhance that. So, the hundreds of devices that IntelliSync supported is just going to be improved upon under the Nokia name. And in fact, the way that the messaging that we're delivering to the marketplace today is that although we'll continue to support multiple devices, that it's going to continue under the IntelliSync branding, so it will not even the name will not even be changed to Nokia. It will still be IntelliSync underneath the Nokia umbrella, and that's going to continue. And there are no plans on making it any more. It's been a very open platform, and there are plans to continue that way. And we will not make it at all skewed towards Nokia devices.
Perfect. That is just the response we were looking for. Steve, I really appreciate you taking the time to answer our questions today and look forward to talking to you in the future. Thanks.
My pleasure.
Well, that's pretty good, Gregory. Nice work getting the actual guy from Nokia to answer your question for you.
He's a good guy. We very much appreciate our relationship with Steve and others at Nokia.
Well done. Now, Chris Rolfe's second question was that there's similar functionality, and I'm assuming he means by the kill pill thing that you were describing, Bill,
yes.
On this. But he says similar functionality with Zenworks for handhelds exists. Will there be some kind of merge together of these different products, and when would we expect to see full eDirectory integration for that kind of management within GroupWise Mobile Server?
So that's something we're working on now, Ted. The reality is that the product ships with some basic management capabilities with it, and then IntelliSync has an add-on module for more extended management, and that's more directly competitive with what the Zenworks for handhelds does. Each of those products have different feature sets, and so we're working directly with Nokia and the Zenworks team. We've put those two together, and we're working through what is the best thing for our customers. So right now, customers, what we'd like you to do is take a look at both solutions, see what best matches in your environment with feature set, and then implement the one that works well for you. And we'll continue to help and give you guidance on that, and then work for a single solution coming in the future.
Thanks, Bill. And Chris, because you sent us two questions, that means you get guess how many Novell Open Audio t-shirts? That's right, one. We have one other question, and this one comes from a voicemail that was left for us, so let's take a listen to that.
Hi, Ted. This is Mike Brady calling. I'm an IT specialist with Precision Air in Midland, Michigan. At BrainShare this year, we saw a list of supported devices and a telephone that we use here, the Motorola E815 through Verizon, was on that supported list. However, now that we have installed and deployed GroupWise Mobile Server, the telephone that we use is not on the supported list. So essentially, we're not able to use that phone with the GroupWise Mobile Server. So my question is, will there be a service pack or an update to GroupWise Mobile Server anytime soon that will be adding additional device support? Otherwise, love the product. It's working great with our Palm devices, doing Bluetooth, over the air, and Cradle Sync, and it's probably the best Palm synchronization product or mobile device synchronization product I've used. So great job on that.
Well, thanks, Mike, for the question. You know, we're not exactly sure what list you saw at BrainShare, but as we talked about a little bit earlier, Nokia certifies based by the operating system or the platform on the device. There are some specific certified handhelds, the more popular ones that they do certify, but it's more about the OS on the device. In looking up this particular device, it runs a Brew 2.1 operating system, which is a supported platform. So if you're having problems, let us know, and we can take a look at it with IntelliSync and see what we can do to resolve it.
And I know how to find Bill Prey for you, Mike, so just send an email to openaudio@novell.com. And we owe you one Novell Open Audio t-shirt as well. See, we're fair. Even if you send three questions to us, you still get one shirt. So that pretty much wraps it up. Did you guys have anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I appreciate it, Ted. This is a great opportunity to talk to people. Please send in your questions. Keep them coming to Ted.
Thanks very much for having us in today. We'll look forward to doing some more of these in the future about GroupWise specific as well.
And Jeff, thanks for keeping these guys honest.
You bet.
And that concludes yet another edition of Novell Open Audio. Remember that the show is brought to you by Novell Users International in conjunction with Novell Incorporated. All of our content is either suggested by our listening audience or by the guys who host the show. You can suggest your topics that you want to hear or put your questions to us by emailing us. openaudio@novell.com is the address to hit, or you can also go to our website and make suggestions through our comments section there, and that also allows you to rate each and every edition of the show. If you haven't been to the website for a little while, please hit the website sometime and give us a few ratings on some of the past shows that we've done. Let us know a little bit more about how we've been doing and what kind of things you want to see on the show. That's pretty much it for this time, so, as we always say, we'll see you next time.